I remember growing up in our house, we always had a manger scene in the living room with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and a lot of animals, and of course shepherds, and the kings were in the kitchen. And as Christmas went on, they got closer and closer to the living room, and eventually, somehow, the shepherds disappeared, and the kings arrived in the manger scene. And I remember wondering, are they following something? Why are they going for the kitchen? And then, who are these people? Who are these? We call them three kings. Well, who are these people? And actually, if you hear the story, that's not the point of the story. What the point of the story is, first, is that these three people, these people coming, are foreigners. They're not the people of Israel. They're foreigners. They're outsiders. They're strangers. And they're the ones that come to adore Christ Jesus. So Jesus is for all people, not just our Jewish sisters and brothers. Now, even for us, all people who were once strangers have now become neighbors to each other. And they follow the star. I'm always amazed they can follow a star. I can't follow a star. And probably that time, everything revolved around Earth. We now know that the Earth moves. But they were wondering, how can they follow a star? And then a star stopped at a certain place. All these things don't matter, because the point of the story is they were following the light. And the light is Jesus Christ. So already, strangers are coming to the light, are coming to know Christ Jesus, who's the light of the world. And what amazes me is that these people who saw that came to adore the Christ following this light, it brought them to Bethlehem, it brought them to Jesus, and they had this powerful experience. I call it a powerful experience because they came in and offered the gifts, but then they went back a different route. They had this powerful experience that moved them so much, it transformed them, that they heard, don't go back the same way. Go back a whole new way. That's something for us. When we experience Christ in our lives, in our world, right now, in our lives, does it change us? Has it transformed us so that we can do something different, live a different life? Because we know the light of Christ. It's not just knowing it here, but we live it in our lives. The light that has come among us. Today we have a great opportunity of guest speakers to talk about this light and how it has come to transform us, and what it means for us to live as children of the light. I'd like to first invite Richard DiCamo, to come forward. He's on our staff, and he's actually the social justice assistant and an ex-police officer. And he'll start, and then he'll invite our other guest, Sister Odell, and then Mike. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, Father. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm Richard DiCarlo. I'm a social justice and outreach associate here at St. Patrick's Catholic Community. If I walk up to you and I give you $10, that's an act of charity. I'm giving it to you out of a loving and generous heart, and I'm not asking for it in return. But if I get off the bus the next day and I see you lying injured on the ground and I step over you and do nothing, I'm now deprived you of justice. And why is that? It's because as a human being born in the image and likeness of God, you are owed your life. A sustainable and healthy life, and also the care of the community. In a very short snippet, that's what our Catholic social teaching is telling us to do, asking of us. It's common to acknowledge God's presence and hand in the beautiful and peaceful events in our lives. On the other hand, we sometimes wonder, where is God in this less eye-appealing or tragic event that might be taking place? But I don't have an answer for that. I do know that with most unpleasant and messy circumstances, there are two things, especially at this time of Epiphany, that can resonate: opportunity and hope. In my prior career in law enforcement, I was called many, many times to help manage a person's life-changing crisis at that given moment, or a tragic event that might be taking place, or the other chaos in somebody's life. And I asked the same questions again and again: where is God in all this? Is he even listening? But maybe I was asking the wrong question. Maybe the question should have been, what is my role in all of this? What is our role in all of this messiness? Well, there was one routine situation that stood out in particular at the end of my career. It was actually a situation that chose me. I was on patrol in the Avenue side near Indian School Road at the time in the middle of May. It was already very, very warm, about 108, 109 degrees outside. It was towards the end of my shift. Most of my squad wasn't on the street anymore. They were in the station doing paperwork. I saw an individual behind a liquor store by himself. He seemed very agitated, throwing things on the ground, pacing back and forth. I got out of the car to investigate what was going on, and as I got closer, I recognized the person. His name is Tom, but it wasn't the same Tom that I had known from before. You see, Tom has been dealing with homelessness for a number of years, and I had run into him time and time again. Today, his demeanor, he was cursing, he was sweating, he was pale, very agitated. He was running into obstacle after obstacle, trying to break through an impenetrable system. He had been diagnosed with cancer in his arm. So at this point, I had three choices: do nothing, call the fire department, or here's where the opportunity comes in. The opportunity to share gifts, to advocate, share resources, collaborate, and accompany him on this next step of his journey. These gifts are not gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We all have different gifts that are tangible and intangible. At this point, I picked up the phone and I called Sister Adele at Circle the City. I had worked with Sister Adele over the years, and I knew that she had been dealing with homeless individuals time and time again. The wonderful thing about this situation is that when I drove Tom to Circle the City, Sister Adele welcomed him with open arms, and this is where the hope part comes in. I physically saw a look of desperation on Tom's face turn into hope, because he knew that somebody was going to be now accompanying him on this next part of his journey, of his medical journey, and what that might look like. Original founder of Circle of the City and now director of mission engagement, Sister Adele O'Sullivan, is here today celebrating with us. Sister belongs to the Sisters of St. Joseph. She also has a medical degree from the University of Arizona. Her epiphany for founding Circle of the City developed from medically serving people experiencing homelessness for years on the street. While treating them, she would say things like, "Take this pill with food." The response might be, "I don't have any food." "Elevate your feet." "I don't have any furniture to elevate my feet." "Keep this wound clean." "I don't have access to a clean bathroom." Sister is here today with Mike to share the mission of Circle of the City, the respite center, and how they accompanied Tom in his medical journey into his final days.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone. It's so good to be here with you again. You know, I think it was 2015 when the call came from Officer DeCarlo about Tom. And at that time, we had Circle the City's Medical Respite Center, a place where we could welcome Tom and give him the care he needed. It wasn't always that way here. A few years before, there was nothing. People that were not quite sick enough for the hospital, but too sick to lay on the street or in our shelters, had nothing. And, you know, these are like people that just got out of the hospital, we still had tubes in, carrying, pulling oxygen tanks, terminal diagnoses, fresh surgical wounds. There was nowhere to go to get care, and to have a clean, dignified place to stay. We, the community across this valley, we had an epiphany in there somewhere. I think it started first with a recognition, with learning, that was the case. That was all there was for our sick and vulnerable. And then something happened. A transformation happened. We together, a diverse community of grassroots effort across this valley, we came together and decided to do things differently. That wasn't who we were, that our sickest and most vulnerable would be treated that way on our streets. So we came together, and in 2012, the first respite center opened, Circle the City's Respite Center on Indian School, 50 beds, 24-hour nursing care, physicians, case managers, people that surround those vulnerable with care and love. And that's where Tom came. I'd like to introduce you now to Mike. Some of you may know Mike over the years. He's directed the volunteers. He was also part of the treatment team that took care of Tom when he was with us. Mike Santasanya.
Thank you, sister. When Tom first came to us, you saw in the slide, he had his wound all wrapped up on his left hand. And he was in pain, he was hurting. And to be honest, he was kind of a crusty guy. I mean, when you come from the street into a 24/7 facility where there's rules, regulations, it's tough. The defenses were high. He didn't share much with us at all in the beginning. He was shielding himself for a while, regardless. We surrounded him with a very compassionate, non-judgmental doctors, nurses, case managers, as Sister mentioned. The entire team treated him with tenderness. And as the weeks went by, he started to change. We all noticed on staff a change where he started to... The irony of all this was, as the cancer grew up his arm, that resulted in eventual total left arm amputation. His heart, mind, and spirit really transformed. He was grieving that loss, but at the same time was opening up to receiving our care. And telling his authentic story. And that's when we really learned about the true Tom. He was a passionate musician. He was a drummer at one point in time. And after he lost his arm, he heard about the British rock team, Def Leppard, and they had a one-armed drummer, Richard Allen. And he became his idol for Tom. Tom also revealed to us that he was estranged from his family. For years, he had a brother and sister he had not been in touch with. But again, a part of the interior transformation for him was that he was willing to meet them again. And our case manager found them. We brought them to Circle the City, and everyone there on that day, during those 2 hours of that meeting, it was a powerful moment. Reconciliation for him that brought such peace. Christmas morning, we always call all of our patients down to the living room because every patient gets wrapped gifts with ribbons and bows on it. But this particular time, the cancer had spread that Tom couldn't join us down in the living room. He was up bedridden in his room. And so we took the gifts up to him. This is that slide. He allowed us to take his picture. It's the last photo we got of him. When he received the gifts, what we like to refer as from the community, these were his gifts, and he took 5-10 minutes just to enjoy them before he opened them up. 2 weeks later, he passed away. But the transformation in his heart, mind, and soul was so evident that the tenderness of which he was cared for, he was in a clean space. He had a pillow, clean sheets. He had all his basic needs were met. And he knew he was cared for and loved by the community. Big transformation from when he was on the street and dismissed. My final reflection is that the impact of that one life really permeated our entire staff. All of them, because of those encounters with this broken, wounded man, hearing the trust that he gave to them in telling his story, his vulnerability, his trauma, his dreams, and his hopes, and his family, every person on our team, because of that, was a better human being and healer. When all of it comes together and our better angels, we allow them to surface and see each other and the common ground, then we will have a taste of what it is to be one human family. One human family. That happens at Circle the City all the time. But this one for Tom started with one man, Richard DiCarlo from your community.
Our concluding invitation is for all of you. When you leave Mass today and walk into the narthex, we invite you to walk over to the Epiphany trees and take some time to discern an Epiphany ornament. We encourage you to discern in what areas Epiphany can manifest itself through you in your personal life, your work environment, and even in your student life. In what areas can you lend hope and opportunity? When you walk to the tree, take some time to reflect and feel where the Spirit is moving you, and let the ornament choose you. If you choose an ornament that's uncomfortable, don't put it back. That's where transformation begins. The ornament topics to choose from this year are mental health, incarceration, homelessness, income insecurity, foster care, and immigration. You are also invited to visit with Sister Adele and Mike at the Circle of the City table outside the doors. The Magi were drawn to something, and it led them to bring gifts to a defenseless and humble child. They stopped, and they brought their gifts, and they didn't walk by. Along with the story that we shared with you today, this biblical scene reminds us of our ornament theme today, and that Epiphany takes place in everyday occurrences and experiences. And yes, God is working somehow, even in the most unpleasant areas of our lives and our neighborhoods.